Jesus is great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you what, the atmosphere of the expectancy, woo, it is powerful in this place tonight. Hallelujah. And the atmosphere of expectancy is the breeding ground for miracles. Hallelujah. Now, if you don't remember, let me refresh your memory. I served overseas in India, whereas we are the Church of the Amen. If I were to say amen, you respond with a hearty amen. In India, it's the Church of the Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There you go. Except one more thing, you'd raise your hand and say hallelujah. All right. We are revved up and ready to roll. I believe the Lord has something great in store for us. Woo! Hallelujah. I just kind of grabbed Christy and I was like, is this intensity level that is here tonight? Is that normal? She goes, oh, yeah. It's expected. Because it might be a little elevated because, you know, the women are together and they just don't really care. Hello? If you want something bad enough, you don't really care how it looks, do you? Sometimes. Yes. So why don't we just, I want to thank all the women's committee. I'm so thrilled that the Lord dropped me on their hearts to have me come and to share with you this weekend. I'm absolutely elated, and I don't think it's by chance. I think the Lord purposed this and positioned us all here for this time and for this moment. And if I would sit down and just chat with you a little bit, you would hear and say, oh, yeah, but just take my word for it. The Lord has something great in store for us. Hallelujah. And I kind of just want to start out in a sense, kind of saying, you know, we got spirit. Yes, we do. We've got spirit. How about you? And then you guys go. Woo! You guys have a great memory. Brings back some old memories, right? Getting some spirit. Did you know back in the 1800s, around 1880 or so, do you know where cheerleading originated from? It has football roots, American football roots. But it really originated from a men's pep club in Princeton University. It is true. Okay. And so there was a pep club that was formed, and later, about 10 years later, when the University of Minnesota was actually, soda, did I say it right, was playing, there was a man named Johnny Campbell that was there. The team was losing, and he thought he'd gather up a bunch of men together, and they actually had the first organized cheer. Then when something like, don't quote me, rah, rah, Sukuma, hurrah, hurrah, varsity, varsity, Minnesota. I researched this, found it out on the internet. So cheerleading grew from there, and it wasn't actually till 1923 that women came on board to cheerlead. Did you know that? It started with men. Cheerleading, I love that idea. And the reason actually it drooped off just a little bit is because World War II, the men kind of went over and started fighting in the battle, and so the women were still there, you know. YMCA, I don't know. And so it kind of went from there. Isn't that interesting? And do you know, about 100 years later, if we're talking about 1880s or what, 1980 or so, the Badgers were playing. I'm not sure who they were playing, but they were not winning. They were losing. But at the same time, the Milwaukee Brewers were playing the St. Louis Cardinals. And the Badgers were losing, and the people in the stadium were noticing that there was a loss, but the cheers started to escalate. And why is that? Well, it just so happened that in a stadium, in the Brewers stadium, and they're in Milwaukee area, the Brewers were starting to win in the World Series against the St. Louis Cardinals. And the Badgers, they were on the field, and they were wondering why they were losing, why there was so much commotion and cheering going on in the crowd. It was because all of them were tuned in with the radios and listening to the Brewers that were winning the victory. And the place just erupted. The Badger Stadium just erupted in praise, even though somebody was losing. It's amazing what the spirit of praise can do, yes? And it's amazing what the spirit can do and how it can breathe life into circumstances and individuals. Can somebody say hallelujah? I don't know about you, but I'd certainly love to see some more men starting like pep clubs for Jesus. Hallelujah. Maybe they need to be reminded that, you know, it all started with men in a pep club. But what we need to know is that God first breathed his spirit into man. He blew into Adam. And he also blew into Eve his spirit. First thing we got to know is the, is the PowerPoint up there? Okay, go to the next one. All right. We are a spirit in a man, spirit man in a body. The body is a vessel that houses the spirit. The spirit gives life. So if there isn't any spirit in your body, is there life? No. So in the body of Christ, if there isn't any spirit of God, Holy Spirit, is there life? Are we lifeless? Something to think about, isn't it? Actually, the Bible says the word breathe, or when God breathes, is ruach. And if you look here, it's God breathed his spirit first in man. Adam is spirit, ruach, okay? It means wind, resembles breath, as a seat or organ of mental acts or even emotions. As seat of emotions or especially of moral character. So think about this. When God breathed his breath of life, Adam and Eve, into you, he is breathing his character, his moral character, his emotion, his spirit. Think about that. We first start off with the breath of God in us. So what happens? What has happened over time? What are we inhaling? Besides blueberry cake donuts that I really like that I'm hearing we're having tomorrow, which I'm really excited about that. Excited about chai lattes too, and I inhale that as well. But seriously, what do we inhale? Eastern mysticism? Yoga? Don't get me on that because I served in India, and India is Hindu, okay? 80%. Of the religion is Hinduism, and yoga stems from Hinduism. In fact, most of the poses that you see in yoga resemble one of the gods or goddesses in Hinduism. And believe me, when you've seen people oppressed or possessed by an evil spirit over there, I just don't want anything to do with that. But what are we literally inhaling? What are we watching? Bachelorette? Bachelor? Trying to get an alternative imagination of what somebody else has and what God is already giving you. Oh, that feels good, doesn't it? Vain imaginations. What are we inhaling? Worry? Fear? What programs? Because if you think the first thing that God did was breathe his spirit into your lungs, you became a spirit man. Now, I'm making some analogies that are here, but I'm sure some of you can really, really relate. Did you know a baby, when it is in the mother's womb, the lungs of a baby have, while it's in the womb, amniotic fluid in them? How many knew that? Okay. So it's not getting its breath or air from the lungs, per se. It is getting it from where? Anybody know? The umbilical cord that's attached to what? The mom. This is interesting because I researched this, and you can correct me if there's some nurses or doctors in here, but from what I understand, at the moment when there are contractions and compressions, when the baby is going through the birth canal, those constrictions or those contractions that are there are literally pumping out the amniotic fluid out of the young lungs, actually preparing the blood vessels, opening the blood vessels in the lungs up. So when, after the contractions and the compressions of going through the birth canal, when the baby first comes out, all of a sudden it cries. And why does it cry? It cries out because he is breathing the full breath of life that God just breathed into its lungs. And you know what I found out? The doctors and the nurses and the moms usually love to hear the baby, what, start to cry. You know why the doctors and the nurses like that? Because when it cries, it is showing that there is full lung capacity of breathing in the breath that is entered into its nostrils down into its lungs. So the cry is like music to the doctors and the nurses, and they're like, oh, they're getting full lung capacity and it's breathing properly, and my baby is wailing, but that is a beautiful sound to me. Things are functioning properly. Yes? If that's the case, naturally. Come on now. Why should there be any difference or feel very insecure about someone who comes up and who has had the breath, had the very wind knocked out of them from life's constrictions, compressions, and contractions, and pain? Come on now, I'm making some symbolism here, some of you guys can relate to. Think about it. Yes? And if they're at the altar and they have gone through some things in life to where there is crying and there is a crying out, that should be something that we should get excited about and rejoice about, because you know what? That shows that God is birthing something new inside of that person. Someone's getting delivered. Someone is getting full life capacity of the breath of God coming into their lungs. Hallelujah. And we shouldn't be, we should be joyful to hear that something great is stirring and there is a delivery on the way. Yes? And God is breathing so much his wind and birthing new life into that person that there is a noise. And what does the Bible say? In Luke 15:7, it says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one person, sinner, who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Hallelujah. We need to get used to, in the body of Christ, people letting go of some things. And you know what? You need to just say, you know what? Heaven is rejoicing. They're letting loose of some things. There's some freedom going on. Somebody's breathing in the breath of life, full lung capacity of the breath of God entering into their lungs. Can somebody say hallelujah? Hallelujah. So here is a point to ponder. Birthing rooms are noisy exits that bring forth new life and celebration. So we need to breathe in the atmosphere of the realm of the spirit wind. Hallelujah. Now I'm making some analogies that are here. And of course, you know, there is that breath of life that God breathes into every baby that is born. But there's also the supernatural birth when somebody comes to know the Lord and forgiveness of sins. Then there's some people that just need to break through some hindrances and bondages in their life that need to breathe in that wind of God. Hallelujah. First, you are spirit man. in his power. So, question. If we haven't heard the noisy birth rooms, could it be that we've become maybe lifeless, empty, a little bit of darkness, abyss, something to think about? Everybody knows where the birthing room is. Sometimes in the hospital, they go and they want to see new life. And it's, you know what, is quite normal when you go up there and you hear some, no! You know, and, wah! You know, everybody's like, oh, everybody's just, you know. When you think it's like abnormal if you didn't? Seriously. When things are quiet? But you know what, if that is you, maybe you personally, or the places where you attend, you know, there is good news. Really, really good news. For the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, let's look at that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless. Now, we want substance, not form or, you know, a form of godliness, right? We want something that is formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So, you have several things that are there, looking up there. Empty. Has anybody ever felt empty or void? So, there's the words, the original words that are in the Hebrew there. Void, okay. Undistinguishable, run. Emptiness. That says a lot right there, right? Superficial. Anybody felt superficial? Darkness, misery, destruction, death, ignorance, sorrow, wickedness. Okay, let's look at the next one. There's a really encouraging note that is here that the Lord gave me because you know what? Oh, there we go. Very good. I like that better. You're doing better. I was going to roll with it, but it's all good. Deep. The deep means a surging mass of water, especially the deep. The main sea, subterranean, okay, a deep place or the depths. Anybody ever been in the depths of despair? This is the way it was in Genesis 1. We're looking at the root of the words. So we go on from there. And it says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the emptiness, over the darkness, over the depths. What does hovering mean? It means to what? To flutter, to move, or shake, to be soft. But I love this, and I highlighted it, with a feeling of tender love, hence to cherish, to brood over young ones, to cherish young as an eagle does for eaglets. Okay? The Spirit of God who brooded over the shapeless mass of the earth, cherishing and vivifying. Love that word, even though I didn't pronounce it first good. What does that say to us? If you were in the depths, feeling empty, feeling that all is dark, there is good news. Turn to the next. There's a point to ponder. The Spirit of God moves with tender love over dark, wicked, ignorant, and ignorant in the depths of abyss surfaces. He cherishes and hovers over those places. Isn't that good news? So if that's you today, and you say, you know what? I felt the darkness, feel empty. The Spirit of God can still hover over you, cherishing you, loving you. His Spirit is getting ready to breathe into you. Isn't that good news? Is that encouragement to anybody else here? Hallelujah. There you go. I love hearing that. So, he is moving with his tender love and compassion. Are you ready to receive that? Let's look at the next point. Treasures are found in the foundations of the earth. God formed man from the dust of the ground. Therefore, a piece of dirt is a priceless treasure to God. If anybody ever says they feel like a piece of dirt, you know what? God made man from the foundation, from the very dirt. He's something as treasured and as valued and very precious. Isn't that good to know? And he wants to breathe his life into them. Look at that. The root of breathe, it means to literally to inflate. To inflate those lungs, to inflate life. The breath of life that God wants to impart into you. He wants to impart life and wisdom, inspiration, and his spirit, intellect. How many can receive that? Yes? He wants to also give life is another word, and that means one of the words, a revival, renewal, a springing. And he said he breathed life into man, and man became a living being. You know what? I feel like we need to air our house out. We need to open up a windows. You know what that means around springtime, right? We need to open up the windows of our heart, lift the windows, and let the spirit wind bring in, reviving and empowering us. Hallelujah. Get out all of the yucky muck and breathe in. You know, I don't think it's by chance that Eve was named the way she was, Eve. Eve actually means life giver. And since we're making an analogy here, I like the analogy of Eve being like an umbilical cord of life, imparting life to others. Think about that analogy. And it says in the beginning, there was morning and there was evening on the first day. Evening, the first part of the word evening is what? Eve. Yes. Now, that is very interesting to know because normally we think our day starts in the morning, right? But if we look at the Jewish calendar, it is something different. Evening, their day actually starts in the evening, at night. And why is that? Because life is always supposed to appear after the dark. So we're supposed to follow like the Jewish calendar, right? That's what Jesus did. And if he gives life through Eve, that umbilical cord, imparting life to others, you know what? In each and every woman, whether you are single, whether you are married, it doesn't matter. God has given each of us an innate ability to impart life, whether that means physical life or that means spiritual life. He's giving every woman that capability of having a spiritual and physical umbilical cord, hallelujah, to be able to be a life giver to someone else to the very spirit, breath of God. Hallelujah. Come on, that somebody should get excited about that. I get excited about it. So, how many would want to do that? I love it when somebody imparts and speaks life into me. You know what? And if God created us all women to be able to do that, then he has given us the mouth to be able to hook up at what the natural capacity can do. Can speak that out of our breath as well. Hallelujah. And even though the cord might be cut physically, don't you tell me, mothers, that there's not an emotional cord that is there that is tied to your kids. That there's something spiritual that's intertwined that is there. Yes? In fact, there's a unique little poem that is up there. There it is. Oop, there it is. A mother's love. No other love can compare to a love a mother has for you. I must say it's unconditional in every way. She carried you for only 9 months, but her umbilical cord remains connected to your soul, a bond that will never be severed, for she will love you forever. Isn't that? And everybody goes, aww. But what I think is just really great is there is an analogy that is there. And it's like, well, how is that? And how is that scriptural? Well, I am reminded of John 15:5 that says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. A child apart from the physical umbilical cord from the mom, that's its nutrients, right? That's its source. Jesus is our what? Our source. He is the vine. We are the branches. But when Jesus spoke about vineyards back in Bible days when he was walking, you know, they knew exactly what he's talking about because harvesting grapes was a very prominent industry back in that day. And in fact, the Bible talks about many things. Israel as being, you know, the vine and the branches. And it talks about Israel being like a fruitful vine. And then it goes on through some prophets like saying, oh my goodness, Israel, now you're a barren vine, you know, because, you know, you've cut yourself off from me. So they were very familiar with Jesus when he was speaking in his analogies as well. But when I did some research, this is what I found out. Back in those days, if they were going to move to another location, see, vines were deeply rooted in them. They would literally take the vines and uproot them. And wherever they went, they would plant those vines. Something that's deeply, deeply rooted, and they would grow vineyards from all of that. What else is further interesting is that I found out that from the branch to the vine, where it's connected, it is almost impossible. It can be done, but it's almost virtually impossible for it to be broken at the connecting point. Just like it's almost impossible sometimes, even though the Bible says, even though your mother forgets you, I will not forget you. Ooh, that sounds like a little bit of the vine and the branches, doesn't it? Well connected there. But even though your mom might not, I'll always remember you. But you know what? At that connecting point that is there, it's almost impossible sometimes to break at that connecting point. We're supposed to, and we're created to be what? In God's umbilical cord, the vine and the branches, receiving nutrients and life from him, his spirit, that umbilical cord of his nutrients, yes, flowing perfectly. And you know what else I found out? When a vine is new, brand new, they make sure and prune it and continue to prune it for 3 years, making sure there is no fruit on it. Cut, 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 3 years. Anybody else, have you been in a hidden season in life? Funny for me, as I was reading, it's been 3 years for me. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I felt that cutting, 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 cutting. But you know why they do it? It's to preserve the energy of the tree. Which really, sometimes in our natural mind, doesn't make sense. But the more they cut it and they keep on cutting, doesn't it preserves the energy to where there's full capacity for then it to get a full harvest off of every branch that there is. Isn't that something to know? We're talking about full capacity of the wind of God moving in into us. And you know what? He wants the full capacity of his nutrients, the resources he has for us, salvation, healing, deliverance. He wants us to what? Go and bear fruit. Fruit that will what? Last. Last. So our relationship speaks so well of the umbilical cord that connects mother to her child. And that emotional, that connection that is there too. Now, I want to make sure that I cover all grounds here. So for those of you that might be here today that maybe not had a motherly figure that was like a, you know, mom like God created them to be, I want to encourage your heart tonight that there is this beautiful thing and a beautiful word. Maybe some of you have never heard of it before, but it's called scion. And it's up here. And a scion is a detached living portion of a plant as a bud or a shoot and is joined to a stalk in grafting and usually supplying solely aerial parts to a graft. What they do, and like the vine, is they cut a little piece off and they get this little branch called a scion and they stick it and they tie it together to that tree and it starts to receive all of those nutrients. I want to encourage those who may not come from a family that might not be a Christian, or one that maybe, you know, you just, it's kind of been difficult and hard, that within this church or the church you attend, I'm sure there be some women that are there that are willing to say, you know what, you're my little scion. I'm going to engraft you in. And the resource that I have that God innately put in me as a life giver, I'm going to breathe life into you. I'm going to speak life into you. Okay? Just like God wants us to be in his spirit, his umbilical cord, his vine, his branch. Yes? Isn't that beautiful to know that we can have spiritual mothers in the church, spiritual fathers? Hallelujah. But a point to ponder is this. It's imperative to stay connected to both our Heavenly Father and our mothers, whether spiritual or biological. The Holy Spirit becomes the umbilical cord or a vine connecting our heart to the heart of God, who cherishes, nurtures, and nourishes us so that we can bear much fruit. Hallelujah. I want to actually go to Ezekiel, chapter 16, verses 4 through 14. And starting to wrap it up a little bit here, but I want to talk about this little verse here. I want to read through it and bring out some points. And it's talking about, it says, on the day you were born, your cord was not cut. It's a symbolism here between God and his people. Nor were you washed with water to make you clean, nor were you rubbed with salt or wrapped in clothes swaddling you. No one looked on you with pity or had compassion enough to do any of these things for you. Rather, you were thrown into the open field, for on the day you were born, you were despised. Then I passed by and saw you kicking about in your blood, and as you lay there in your blood, I said, live. First it said, then I passed by. God passed by and saw that horrible sight, and he spoke and says, live. I made you grow like a plant of the field. You grew up and developed, became the most beautiful of jewels. Your breasts were formed, your hair grew. You were naked and bare. But later I passed by, covered your nakedness, made a covenant with you. I bathed you with water and washed the blood from you and put ointments on you. You became very beautiful and rose to be a queen. And your fame spread among the nations on account of your beauty, because of splendor I had given you. Made your beauty perfect, declares the Lord. Jerusalem was floating around in the womb of the world's detestable practices. Yet the cord of God wasn't cut. Aren't you grateful for that? Aren't you grateful? They had the dirty remains of the womb of the world upon them. Yet there still was a conduit of the cord of God that was there. Yet to speak and to give them life, and to breathe life into them, right? I love how it says to live in this scenario. Let's look at what the word live means. To live. A primitive of to live, whether literally or figuratively, to revive. I believe this is what God wants to do in your life as well as the churches. He wants to what? Revive. He says, listen, I haven't cut you off, but I want to revive you. And I love what it says about pass by. When I passed by you, this is what I saw. When I passed by, interesting enough, that same word is in Genesis when Noah's ark was in the flood. And the same root when the floodwaters were there and that boat was rocking back and forth is the same word when he blew his wind and the water started to recede and go down. Isn't that a beautiful analogy that is there? He passes by and he can blow the wind, and you know what? If you've been rocked on the waves of the world, he can recede those things. No more turbulence. No more seasickness of the world. He can blow those things away. And we're going to actually skip that verse that says in John 3:38. But I love that spirit. Let's look at where it says spirit. It means pneuma, or breath, a breathe. Okay? Christ's spirit, his Holy Spirit, breathes. The pneuma of God. He wants to give us fresh birth and fresh life. Hallelujah. In fact, another thing about him blowing upon the waters is very interesting. Remember when the Israelites were in bondage and God broke them free and they started to go out and they came to what? The Red Sea? God stirred up what? The breath of his. He blew a wind, the Bible says. There was a wind that came from the east. It blew upon the waters, and it parted the waters. It was like a spiritual, almost physical, like a lady goes through water breaking. There was a water breaking that as they were getting delivered out of Egypt, so to speak, the waters parted. They went through, and God says, I'm going to take you to a place flowing with milk. Hello, women. Are you getting this analogy, this picture with the whole birthing? Waters break through the wind of God. Yes. They're going through a land with milk. It flows. But what I find is really interesting before that, another thing that God stirred up the wind to blow was the locust. There was locusts that came and devoured. And many times in scriptures, it talks about the locust coming devouring, and he wants to give you back what the locust has eaten, right? You guys have heard that? And locusts are things that devour and eat and consume, right? And then there was the breath of God with that plague that blew them away. Blew them away. Then the Red Sea parted, the breath of God. They were going to a land with milk and honey, right? Great deliverance. Now here's what I find is really interesting. Many years later, there was a woman named Elizabeth. She was quite a bit advanced in years, was barren. And what happened? God miraculously gave her a child in her womb. I know his name is John. While she was pregnant with John, Mary, God, went to what? Nazareth, and visited a young girl named Mary. Said, you're going to conceive and be with what? Child. For nothing is impossible with God, for you're even your cousin, Elizabeth, right? Is with child. Really? Wow. Think about that. You know, I know a lot of young girls that would like to hear stories about how you're going through some things and hear from some of the Elizabeths, you know. So Mary runs to Elizabeth. Here's what I find is interesting. Elizabeth, they're both pregnant, right? What happens? They're both attached to a physical what? Umbilical cord, correct? And then when Jesus in the womb of Mary comes into the presence of Mary, what happens? There is a what? There is something that is so powerful, the very Spirit of God, what? Leaps inside the womb of Elizabeth. Don't tell me that even though you're pregnant, God can't use you in the prophetic. Because did not Elizabeth start speaking prophetically over Mary? Blessed are you who has believed the word of the Lord. So moms, there is hope. Don't think just because you're going through a scenario that God can't use you. Oh, yes, he can. It's very scriptural. Hallelujah. So what happens? There is a spiritual connect that is there. Older woman, younger woman. It's like a little scion bringing the men right there. Receiving from God, the very Spirit of God. Even the umbilical cord, yes, the Spirit of God is moving through all of it. Isn't that a beautiful picture and beautiful analogy? But here you go. So John was birthed. And this is what I think is so cool about God. He goes out and he's in the desert. And it's so funny because you know what? There's locusts that are present there. But the locusts aren't consuming him. He's consuming the locusts because the very Spirit of God was birthed in him. Yes, in the womb. Hallelujah. Is that not a powerful thing? Are you getting this? Yes. He's consuming the locusts, and he actually says, you know, one who is more powerful than me is going to come after me, and he is going to baptize you in the Spirit, in the powerful Spirit of God. The winnowing fork is in his hand, and he's going to blow the chaff away. Woo! What is he saying to you women tonight? God's Spirit is wanting to blow some things out of you. He wants you to breathe in full lung capacity, his breath inside of you, his powerful Spirit. Yes? Blow the locusts away. We get so consumed with the power of the Holy Ghost, we just eat up all of the things that have been taken from us because we're consumed with the breath and Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I am ready to see, no longer seeing women drooped over and in darkness. Yes, empty in abysses. God's will and his purpose is what? To breathe his Spirit upon you, in and through you, birthing new life, new vigor, revival. Yes? Hallelujah? How many of you are just saying, you know what? That's me. I need revival. I need that pneuma of God to come. I need his breath to blow some things away, blow the chaff away, giving me new life, giving me power. Yes? Only one person raised their hand. That's what the Lord wants to do with you. There's a breath of God. And you know what? There is the power of the Holy Spirit that was here. I mean, some people actually share with me they felt it when they walked in the doors this evening. And I know that I have been struggling all this week, deep struggle with a severe head cold and a headache. And I will have to tell you this. When I left the hotel, I started driving. Literally, that headache just went away just like that. And, you know, there's always some birthing pains before something's delivered. And I believe the Lord is going to do the miraculous in you. Why? It's not because of me. Because he confirms his word with signs following. So when the word is preached, signs will follow. People will be saved, people will be delivered, and people will be healed. God wants to do that. He does. I want to ask this evening, you know, if there's anybody here, you can say, you know what? I know the life I've been living doesn't please Jesus at all. And there is some chaff, so to speak, or some sin in my life that I know I need to be forgiven of. I need to be born of his Spirit, not just in birth when God breathes his breath into us and fills our lungs, but I need to be born again of the Spirit, not from my mom's womb, but from the Spirit of God. I need to be forgiven. I need a new life in Jesus. Is that anybody here tonight? You just need a new life in Jesus? I want to make that available. Anybody? Well, you know what? How many can say, I've come with a load that I need God to blow off of me, and I am ready to receive that this evening. Full lung capacity of the breath of God. Is that anybody here today? Yeah? You know what? If the musicians can't get to their spots, that'll be just great. We're going to pray for you. Listen, this is just the beginning of what God wants to do for you. There is more. We're going to have the power of the blessing tomorrow. There's power in the word. There's going to be power in the jeans tomorrow. Everybody wear jeans tomorrow. Power in the jeans, not necessarily jeans, as in Levi's or whatever. But in the genes, as in G-E-N-E-S, and power and witness, and excited to see about what God's going to do. But we want to make it available, and we're going to pray for all the women here that you have come, and you're ready for the Lord to breathe new life into you, revive you, make you spring up. And for those of you who need physical healing, I believe the Lord wants to touch you, and he wants to heal you. Hallelujah. So if that's you here tonight, I want you just to stand to your feet or have one of your girlfriends take you by the hand and bring you up here. We're going to have a prayer team, and we're going to anoint you with oil, and we're going to pray for you to see Jesus blow upon you and give you full lung capacity and set you free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody here? All right. Well, wow. All right. Let's come and let's just line up.